things were in a slump. You know, things were really kind of sliding down with all these scandals that we were talking about. Definitely were making it hard to watch. People started turning off. People stopped buying the toys. The toy companies stopped putting their commercials on the TV. Vince lost all his money from merchandise people. Mm-hmm. They just stopped putting commercials and stopped making product. And it had a huge effect on everything. It was like a real dark time in the company. And when the bodybuilding thing started, there was these bodybuilders, and who likes bodybuilders? I mean, talk about it, zeros in life. There's nothing, I can't say anything good about bodybuilders at all. What a total waste of your life,
Because of the vanity?
Yeah, just the vanity of just all day, there's nothing special about bodybuilders other than they lift weights all day,
It's like beauty pageant.
Some people are. I don't know. I never had a fascination. I mean, I like a good physique and all that, but to the point of being obsessed and like bodybuilders and the dieting and the whole thing is like, who cares? Like, I don't see any ability or skill in it at all. Same with fashion models or runway models. I mean, who really gives a damn? They're too skinny and they don't look as hot as they think.
Baby oil and blow are talking superstars. Not WCW, and not nearly as long.
You like Bad Company's Shooting Star?
No, but it's appropriate song to sing us into this episode. That's for damn sure.
Changed real nicely into Superstars.
Yeah, you know? I like it better than I think the song Bad Company. I'll give it that.
That's one of Heikowitz's favorites, though.
It's not up there with Red Red Wine. Maybe it's in his top 10.
He said if he had an entrance theme, that would be it.
That would be his.
Like if he could just walk into a bar and music played, that's the song.
Dude, does everybody that we know have a chosen entrance theme? Because I remember famous weirdo Matt Steiger chose Robert Plant's I'm in the Mood for a Melody.
Which, like, looking back on it, a good decade or and a half removed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Genius.
Oh, yeah.
Just a genius play on his behalf.
He got heat immediately on that one.
Yeah.
I definitely always wanted to use Air's Sexy Boy.
Sexy Boy.
That's really good right there.
And then there's...
I mean, Werewolves of London is definitely what Tom the Wolfman Skaronski, the King of Chicago, that's what he's coming out to.
I don't know if I ever really picked one out for myself.
We gotta get you up there, man. We gotta get a theme song for you.
I don't know what encompasses my je ne sais.
Je ne sais what?
Yeah. That's for a different show altogether now,
Yeah.
But this show, this is Baby Oil and Blow.
It's a wrestling show.
It is. Usually we talk 80s wrestling. We're still in what we call 80s wrestling, but it's 1992 this week. Took a break for ourselves because we deserve it, damn it. We're your hosts, Matt O, and with me as always, you are going to be the other Beverly brother to my Beverly brother.
Mm.
You are Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. They had B names, right?
I'll give you 20 bucks.
Bo and Blake. I think it was Bo and Blake, maybe.
Oh, man, I shouldn't have said it.
Is that it?
I don't know.
Did you say about that $20? I didn't let you get all that out of your mouth.
I'm going to bing it.
Jumped on that right away. Beverly, welcome to 1992, brother. Everybody. As was being said, we're doing a little bit of time traveling here. This is the second time we've done it. We're jumping around our era. 80s wrestling show. You gonna poo-poo that we're talking 1992? Nay, nay. We've said from the beginning, NBA Jam rule. Anything up to 1993 is 80s wrestling.
We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Also,
it's Bo and Blake.
Eventually, we'll probably just start talking about legit 90s wrestling because you can only take this 80s thing so far before you mine the whole decade of topics to talk about.
Right.
Unless we want to go way back to the beginning of the 80s and then just imagine how just loose and unformatted those shows are. Fuck.
You're just going
to
be watching who knows what. people wrestling
maybe
at the Cow
someday
Palace.
We'll dabble in their Mid-South collection they got going on, because I hear that nice. Mid-South was sort of the first people to actually figure out how to
use TV
like as a TV show rather than have it just be like an hour-long infomercial that doesn't really do a very good job of being an infomercial.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, WCW. Should have said two-hour-long. Should have said two-hour-long.
Man, we had a couple weeks there, you and I, you know?
Couple weeks of nothing.
You were dead.
Mm-hmm.
You dogged
your ankle?
I dogged my ankle. I finally shook, like, I didn't get that full-blown second wind of the illness like you got.
Oh, man. I got put out, man. Full-on sinus infection, just blood clots, cement fucking snot coming out, bright green, just thick cement, too much pressure in my head to stand for very long all at once.
I want to say what saved me is my steady diet of Allegra D and high-end nasal sprays that I use.
Yeah, I was using a lot of saline solution. One of my main mistakes was going for that Mucinex DM that everybody tells me how great it is, and I'm always like, don't do it, man, don't do it. You know it doesn't agree with you. And I was like, I'm just going to do it.
And you started peeing out your butt?
No, I just don't sleep for like the next 48 hours anytime I take one of them. It's just like, literally, I went 48 hours with no fucking sleep.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no.
Why do I always do this?
Those things wire the shit out of me, and I get that balloon head really bad. And I'm just like,
never doing that again. I finally learned my lesson.
Yeah.
We got through the polar vortex, though. We got through all this illness.
You should have got some Afrin.
All these injuries.
Congestion.
Literally, we've been out. Last Friday we went out and had a few drinks. That was the only time. Yeah. I've been anywhere other than work or at home, so that's the only, like, out loud talking I've done, like,
that's
in the last two and a half weeks.
Yeah.
So this might get dicey here, just trying
you're
to talk for,
get,
like, an hour straight.
You're just gonna get gabby.
I could get gabby.
You got a lot to talk
maybe
about.
Maybe I've forgotten how to structure sentences is also a thing that could happen.
That's usually my shtick.
Yeah, I don't know. Tables have turned, buddy boy. Mm. Tables have turned.
How'd you fare on your WrestleMania picks?
WrestleMania...
Or Royal
Rumbles. Say, WrestleMania, I don't remember happening.
Your Royal Rumbles picks.
I don't remember who I picked for the Royal Rumble.
You picked...
at all.
Seth Rollins.
I won that. I got that one right.
A blonde.
For the women's Royal Rumble. Who won that? That was...
Becky Lynch.
Okay,
redhead.
She's not a blonde.
Yeah.
Who?
So
50-50 on those picks. 50-50
there.
Brock Lesnar, I
you insisted Lesnar
he
on
won.
Account of all that beef.
He won big time. Look at all that beef, man. There's no way that little guy's gonna beat him.
AJ and Daniel Bryan, I think we just came to the conclusion of who really cares.
Yeah, I said doesn't matter.
And
it
didn't.
Not
and
gonna
they,
end. It's
and
just
they
gonna
showed,
keep going.
They showed us it
That's
didn't
exactly
matter.
What happened.
I think those were the only matches we really picked.
Well, I got that Rumble wrong.
Yeah, that's so you missed
pretty
one.
Pretty good. Pretty
you
good.
You missed one. I think I made you pick four, so 75%
not as good
clip.
As my 100% Survivor Series picks that I went through.
That was...
Not my strongest of the big four.
Yeah. If you... There's places you can gamble on wrestling. Like, you really can.
What are we talking about? Like, a Reno? Are we going to, like, a Reno?
I don't know where. Might just be online at the Bodogs.
Oh, I hate going to online.
You got Bodogs,
going
the Bellators.
Online is the worst. Have you ever talked to the people on there?
Sometimes have been known to dabble.
They're pathetic, dude.
It's a real
just across
weird
the board, fucking pathetic.
Although I
unless
kinda...
you like jerking off to Waluigi like drawings, him like fucking Mario in the ass. Other than that, don't get
Mario's
online.
Got bodacious titties for no reason.
Oh, so you've seen the art.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah.
We're both fans of the same artist.
Oh, hell yeah. That guy's got a real eye for a couple Italian
plumbers. He's
got a future,
that's for sure.
Modern wrestling. I'm trying to think modern wrestling.
Oh, this week's modern wrestling news. Yeah. We should got 2 weeks worth of it because we got knocked out of commission last week. You should have so much news piled up.
I can't even remember anymore. Just people defecting. People already
Dean Ambrose
jumping
leaving
ship.
WWE. I read about that.
I heard
that's
Knox not
news.
Far behind.
Who?
Knox. Nakamura.
Oh, I thought you were saying like Mike Knox. I was like, Mike Knox still
Mike
works
Knox
for that company?
Mike Knox is thinking about leaving WWE.
Who the fuck cares?
He was pretty great when he was Kelly's jealous boyfriend.
I think Nakamura is 100% happy just fucking dogging
cash
it
and checks
in the mid-card
and surfing
and cash and checks
and drinking coffee.
And just, staying on the card due to his charisma.
I could see
as
that.
As I was telling my meathead cousin when we were sort of watching the Royal Rumble together, dude's... covering his torso now while he wrestles. That's a straight up like late career Carlito move.
Yeah.
Like he don't give a fuck anymore.
No,
I don't see him being like, oh, I got to get out of here and go back to New Japan or like get an AEW so I can beat the shit out of my body more.
Hey, my cardio's decent.
Knox chilling.
That's all I care, you know?
Who else?
Kind of what he's doing.
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. The Revival's accordingly or supposedly, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Chubbo Hideo Itami, he's gone.
Yeah.
That's the other one people were talking to me about.
Yeah, he's definitely
just
gone.
Days after I was watching that, whatever he was doing that weekend.
NXT takeover.
My cousin was talking about
live.
What a waste he was, how they were wasting him so much. And I was like, no, he blew it. He looks like shit. He looks like somebody's nice dad put on wrestling trunks and is going out there and just sleepwalking through matches. They should fire him.
Yeah, he's
so
got.
So then old boy asks for his release.
Real bloat face.
Everybody else has asked for their release. They're like, nah, son, you got to stick around. With him, they're just like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. That's cool.
Yeah, please leave.
Please. This is not what we signed up for.
No.
Get the fuck out of here, Hideo Itami. Let's go into that rundown. Of course, we are talking superstars. We're celebrating the debut of superstars on the WWE Network. We've been bitching for episode after episode that they don't have any superstars on there. Finally, they, you know, got some up there.
Yeah.
Apparently, they can't legally wrangle like getting any of the actual 80s shit up there because, I don't know, they're lawyers or pussies or whatever, but... We got some stuff from 1992, so we're starting the first one that they threw up there, April 18th, 1992. This week, the rundown is being brought to us by Paradise Hot Dog Vendors. It's hot dog-shaped hot dog bikes you can get down in the French Quarter in New Orleans in that John Kennedy Toole book, A Confederacy of Dunces.
I'm sorry. So much you said.
Hot dogs on the brain.
Just went right over my head.
Sure. It won the Pulitzer, Matt. Like, you don't know what that book is.
More like Pulitzer.
First match is the Legion of Doom. Hawk and Animal in there versus Dwayne Gill and Barry Hardy. LOD, they win Death by Doomsday Device.
Dwayne Gill.
Same way it's going.
You know who that is?
Yeah, it's Gilbert.
Motherfucking Gilbert.
The guy later becomes Gilbert. He's one of the hottest stars of the late 90s.
I also want to say Barry Hardy showed up in some WCW episodes.
You're thinking of Jeff Hardy when he showed up at AA.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I forgot he needed that ride home.
You got it. You got it twisted.
Yeah.
Twisted
of fate. Twisted of fate.
Your favorite wrestler of all time.
Who's that?
We're finally in a period where we can cover him.
Who's that?
The Repo Man.
Repo Man.
He's in there versus Chris something or other. I don't know. Dude out
Chris
of mullet.
Chris
Hahn. I don't think they put his name up on the
screen. It was
screen.
Chris Hahn.
Chris Hahn, apparently.
You gotta listen to Vince.
Making that up. Yeah, like I can hear Vince over the crowd cheering so loud for Repo Man. You can't hear anything they're saying.
Repo Man did such a good job in this match.
He wins.
You know he did.
After he catapults the guy's neck into the bottom rope
a couple times.
Okay,
so the finish was kind of weird.
And then he pinned him, and then he just like brought out his hook on the end of a rope and just strangled the guy a bunch, and then he drug him around by his neck.
And like, why does he have a hook on an end of a rope? Like, that's not really a repo thing.
I think
like,
it's supposed to be like the thing he took
like
off the back of a tow truck,
but
sort
like,
of. It's their janky way to recreate that.
I get it, but I just
he's like a human tow truck, man.
I can't wait till I get that Hasbro Repo Man figure to bring to the desk here.
That's going
to
be so nice.
That's going to be the next one.
This might be the tipping point where I just throw all this stuff out.
Nope.
Next match, Bret the Hitman Hart, current Intercontinental Champion.
Who?
He's in there versus Tom Bennett, and he wins with the sharpshooter. Pretty standard Bret match.
Tony Bennett's nephew.
Up next is the Berserker. He's out there with his manager, Master Fuji.
Huss.
He's in there versus a man named Mark Roberts.
Mark Roberts, good guy.
Big John Nord wins after a power slam. There's a big win for the Berserker on his path of destruction straight towards the Undertaker. Rick Martel, the model. He's in there versus good old...
Red Tyler.
Standard classic WWF jobber, Red Tyler. Always a fan of mine back in the day.
Yeah.
Martel wins it with that Boston Crab, that patented Boston Crab. He had that thing perfected.
Did they make Red Tyler quit wearing those Lex Luger trunks when they brought Lex Luger in, or did they just stop using Red Tyler?
Good question. We'll have to call up Luger and ask him about that. You got 10 minutes to get his explanation?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm not doing anything.
Next match, the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich. He's in there versus Warren Bianchi.
Yeah.
He puts him away pretty quick with that tornado punch.
Hey, Nate.
Yep. Yep.
That,
Yep.
That Kerry Von Erich, he really was a dreamboat, you know?
He was handsome and cut.
Never really realized until this episode.
I
was like,
you could not realize. It's pretty fucking apparent to anybody who looked at the guy.
Yeah. Good for him.
Money Inc. is in our main event this week.
Against?
That's IRS, Erwin R. Scheister, and the Million Dollar Man,
Who
Ted
cares
DiBiase.
About them? Against?
They're in there versus Jim Powers and Buck Zumhoff.
Buck Zumhoff.
Mm-hmm. DiBiase ends this one with the Million Dollar Dream.
That's a killer name.
And
Buck Zumhoff.
That ends our rundown.
My name's Buck Zumhoff.
We're going to go into our five count right now where we dig deeper into the episode. Is your number one just how much you like the name Buck Zumhoff?
Buck Zumhoff.
Yeah, say I was always a big fan of Jim Powers when I was a kid.
Jim Powers.
I always wanted him to win.
Getting in a lot of offense.
He didn't really.
Just getting in a lot of offense on IRS.
You get it, man. Dude was cut.
Now he's tagging.
Dude had long hair like a rock star.
To Buck Zumhoff.
Last name is Powers. Seemed cool to me.
You could have like done something with
Vince didn't think so.
The Captain Powers cartoon show.
Oh, yeah. What was that cartoon show again?
Captain Powers.
Is that some sort of like off-brand Captain Planet?
No, Captain Powers and the Something Frontiers.
Yeah, Planeteers.
Fighters.
You're definitely thinking of Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Nope.
Power on.
Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future. Earth 2147. The legacy of the Metal Wars, when man fought machine and machines won. Biodreads, monstrous creations that hunt down human survivors and digitize them. Volcania, center of the Biodread Empire, stronghold and fortress of Lord Dread, feared ruler of this new order. But from the fires of the Metal Wars arose a new breed of warrior, born and trained to bring down Lord Dread and his Biodread Empire. They were soldiers of the future, mankind's last hope. Their leader, Captain Jonathan Power, master of the incredible power suits which transform each soldier into a one-man attack force. Major Matthew, Hawk Masterson, fighter in the sky. Lieutenant Michael Tank Ellis, ground assault unit. Sergeant Robert Scout Baker, espionage and communications. And Corporal Jennifer Pilot Chase, tactical systems expert. Together they form the most powerful fighting force in Earth's history. Their creed, to protect all life. Their promise, to end Lord Dredd's rule. Their name, Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
That was a show for sissy boys like yourself.
I'll agree with that wholeheartedly. I did not watch this show.
Captain Planet was for sissy boys. And all you people that are like, Captain Planet, that was fun. It wasn't. It was boring. I hated watching it. And if I had the option between that and Widget the World Watcher, I wanted to watch Widget the World Watcher. And that show was also about peace and love and fixing the planet.
I can't remember not liking either of those shows, quite frankly.
I'm just saying, they were both bad.
There were less TV shows back in the day, though, so you had to watch bad TV.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, not watch TV? No.
Captain Powers was a show that tied into a toy brand specifically because the toys were interactive with the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was live action mixed with cartoon, and they'd do these live action things where, like, Captain Power was like, I gotta get in the Captain Power plane and I gotta fight the bad guys.
Sure.
And he'd just fly around like Star Wars, like,
sounds pretty cool,
bleak
so far.
Related looking shit. And there would be like strobe lights from the TV that would like affect your little ship that you flew. And
this, like, subliminal advertising was getting pumped into your brain?
No, like the TV could blow up your plane and like Captain Powers would like shoot out of the cockpit.
This doesn't sound like a real thing.
It'd scare the shit out of you. And then you could shoot at the TV and it would keep score and be like, you shot this thing, you shot that thing. You're the winner.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you dreamed this.
No, I just sold a couple of them. It's a real thing.
Hmm. The TV show is not on anymore, though, so how could you use the toys?
VHS.
Oh, God. Imagine that afternoon.
Each ship came with a VHS.
How many middle-aged men have you sold these things to that you think go home and put in the VHS and then play with this toy in front of the TV?
At least two.
Good God. At your whole life two. Is just like a nightmare to me.
I'm taking their money, though.
Sure. There's a lot of people that do a lot of gross things for money. It doesn't mean they're not living gross lives.
Oh, I'm not above it. What do you want to talk about now?
Five count. What's your number five?
Number one. Yeah, good number question. One. Let me find out where I finally liked something.
You're supposed
Get
to take notes
here,
so
I
that
got
it's
notes.
Easy for us to just like go into it smooth. Just transition like professionals.
I don't have anything I want to talk to in like halfway through the episode, so you can name some stuff if you want.
Jesus Christ. There's a lot of weight on my shoulders right now. You just keep putting it all on me, man.
Put it right on me.
My number one is pretty intense and pretty involved. It's sort of just like a big picture item, not a specific thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it just speaks to a lot of things we talk about over and over and over again on this show. We've been in 1988 recently, and we've just been talking about how none of these idiots know how to format a wrestling show or
Correct.
Format a TV show
Correct.
At all so that it's watchable. And, oh, God, hallelujah, this Superstars in 1992. I'm going to say this is my ideal wrestling show format. This is how a wrestling show should be done. And I've got a lot of reasons why that's the case,
okay.
Matt. Number
this is,
one.
This shows up on my
number,
list, so we
number
can talk
one
about
A.
it. This can be my number one as well.
First thing that happens, we're talking to Mr. Perfect and Vince, our two announcers. Vince runs down what we're going to be seeing on this episode.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like a long list of homework that's going to kill me to get through.
Like when Jim Ross
it's
tells you what's in the
things.
In the second hour?
This is an hour-long wrestling show, 44 minutes without commercials. Just long enough to watch it and maybe enjoy a couple things and not want to start thinking about how you'd rather be dead than doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's a positive.
Second off, the actual format of the show, segment to segment. It's not the repetitive sludge of squash match and then a post-match
Interview.
Promo. Squash match and then
Interview.
A post-match promo. We've got some matches that are taped, that are commentated on. By Vince and Perfect. Mm-hmm. Then they'll throw it to the event center where Sean Mooney has some promos and stuff.
Sean
for us
Mooney.
That are, you know.
Hello, I'm Sean Mooney.
Pre-tapes done backstage. Or maybe he's got like a thing that's not even in the studio at all, like a little video package for us. We watch
that's
some
right,
video
Vince.
Packages. Every once in a while, you want like an interview that seems like it's an important one, so you throw to Mean Gene Okerlund doing one of his live in front of a crowd out on a fucking stage announcer things, and then you got guys who were in feuds, and you want to put a you know a little punctuation mark there on how these guys are in feuds. What do you do when the one guy's wrestling? You do the corner promo of the guy
you.
They're feuding with. That way, you got this guy talking about that guy, you see him on the screen together, but they're not actually standing next to each other in that WCW 30-foot by 30-foot
right.
studio, making you ask yourself, if they hate each other so much and they're standing right next
Do
to each
something
other,
about
why
it.
Aren't any of these guys fighting? Why ain't there a brawl?
The Beverly Brothers called LOD sissies.
Yeah, and if they would have done that to LOD's faces and then the LOD didn't fight them,
they
it would have seemed dumb.
Yeah, they would have ripped their heads off and crapped down their throats.
Now you know, like, the LOD's going to watch their match back. They're going to see these guys calling them sissies, and they're going to be like, what
the fuck did they say?
And then sometime in the future, we're probably going to get a confrontation.
How long did Paul Ellering make it in WWF?
It wasn't long from what I remember, because he was with them for a while, and then I think he disappeared for a while, and then they brought him back with the puppet for a while, from what I remember.
Oh, yeah.
And then that didn't last, and, like, I don't know. Being somebody who, like, hadn't seen a ton of early Road Warriors, like, none of their AWA stuff, just, like, a lot of their WCW stuff from maybe, like, 88, 89, I never really understood what Paul Ellering brought to the presentation, quite frankly, especially once they started doing that puppet shit. But, you know. My last point. End of the fucking show. What's Vince do? Oh, man, he runs down what we're going to be getting next week. And it's a big Berserker versus Undertaker match.
That they've
for
been
one
building
thing.
Up for most of the
Most
episode.
Of the show, yeah, we get some confrontation between this. If you're doing sequential storytelling, episodic fucking TV, every single show, this is something they haven't done nearly enough in the history of pro wrestling. You should be talking about what's coming next week. What's the hook to watch next week? We should at least have one big match or one big angle set up for next week that you tell them about as the show ends. This is one thing that Nitro was very good at. That, like, they weren't very good at a lot of things, but it's one thing they did. What's the hook for next week? You ask them to come back. You give them a reason to come back.
Everything it seems had like most of the ended time ended on a cliffhanger.
They don't even give a fuck if you come back or not. Like, if you're watching Melrose Place in 1994, like, you get that big previously on Melrose Place before each thing, and you're
previously
like, oh man,
on Melrose
I remember. Melrose Place ended with a cliffhanger last week, and I was super stoked to see what was going to happen now that Kimberly stole Joe's baby.
I don't know any of those people.
What's your name?
Jerry Seinfeld.
What is your address?
129 West 81st Street.
Did Kimberly steal Joe's baby?
I don't know.
Did Billy sleep with Allison's best friend?
I don't know.
Did Jane's fiancé kidnap Sydney and take her to Las Vegas? And if so, did she enjoy it?
I don't know.
Did Jane sleep with Michael again?
Yes! Half her business, and then she goes ahead and sleeps with him again. I mean, she's crazy. How could she do something like that? I mean, that Jane, how could she just make me so mad?
Melrose Place? No, I've never watched an episode.
Yeah, sure
never
you
in my
didn't.
Life.
Next week, we're gonna have you hooked up to a lie detector test. We're gonna sort through this.
Not gonna be the first time I've done one.
Superstars. It's a great wrestling show. It's how every wrestling show should be done. Any other wrestling show pales in comparison. This is what makes wrestling palatable. This format right here.
Yeah.
That's my number one.
I agree with just about all that.
Okay. Ooh, some points of contention, maybe.
Well, yeah, no, next week they got Berserker versus Taker, so they're already going to give you like a real match. So, yeah, no, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It works. It's just there was no significant matches
this
week.
That's true. It was all squash matches, which I'm fine with every once in a while, but I agree that like you can't do that every episode.
No, you
like,
can't.
You got to have at least a match that's semi-meaningful most episodes.
Yeah. You got enough people on that roster.
I'm not saying blow off your big feuds on TV. I'm just saying like a match that means something a little bit.
Somebody that's a little bit more than a jobber that's calling out somebody that's out of their league, like a Berserker to a Taker.
Or just like a couple of guys who are feuding. You get them in there together and it's just like a quick match. You don't see much. It ends in some sort of like DQ beatdown or something, but you had a match to advertise and you get more heat on the feud, shit like that.
Either way, this is what made this era of wrestling great, and this is what made these guys seem like superstars, is every week they're beating jobbers, and then the guys that they're eventually going to beat are also beating jobbers, like Berserker was, and then they get fed to whoever's really making the money, and then you're like, well, that guy beat somebody real, so you know he's legit.
So there's actual rankings, you know how good the different wrestlers are. If once in a blue moon, somebody who's in the mid-card does beat somebody who's above the mid-card, it's a big deal and it means something. That's
like,
been completely lost in wrestling.
Back in the day, like when somebody was like, oh, this guy should be the champion, you'd be like, that's dumb. He can't even beat this guy. You're dumb. You're dumb. Like nowadays, everybody's just trading wins and losses. When somebody's like, hey, fucking the perfect 10, whatever his face is, should be champion, I've got no argument.
Perfect 10, what's his face?
I don't know that guy's name.
Who you're talking
He's
about.
He's the 10 guy. He's from Canada. He was in NXT a long time.
Yeah.
Now he's not.
That guy seems like a jobber. Seems like a jobber to me, man.
He was, But that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
None of these people fucking matter anymore, Nate.
This is another one of these internet arguments I've been seeing recently where they got this new women's tag title coming out.
Sure.
Which is going to be on both shows, apparently. So people are starting to say, like, You know, they should just do this with all the titles and just have the champions be able to go to either show. And then other people do, like, the counter-argument. They're like, who's you gotta have two champions for each show? Because, like, what if there was only one champion now? Like, oh, this guy wouldn't have been able to be champion, and this guy wouldn't have been able to be champion.
They shouldn't be champion.
My answer to that is good.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, there was, like, three champions the entire decade. And you know what? Being champion fucking meant something. Now, Jack Swagger was champion. The Great Khali was champion.
Dolph Ziggler was champion.
Fucking, Jinder Mahal was champion. Who cares about being champion? Champion sucks. I'd rather not be champion.
We saw him beat Randy Orton to retain that strap.
And I remember it, every detail of it.
Oh,
it was scintillating.
All the details. And the strip clubs afterwards.
I do remember the strip clubs afterwards.
Yeah.
We looked like real trash. They didn't want to let us in there dressed as the NWO.
Which makes no sense. Mm-hmm. If you show up with the squad dressed up like NWO, they should be waiving cover charges.
Yeah.
They should be buying you the first bottle of champagne.
It's not my fault this shit suburb has a gang problem.
Yeah. And it took us 10 years to find an actual strip club. And then once we did, we set up shop there by the bar, which was great.
Shout out to Scores. It was a professional operation. Yeah. That one we tried to go to first was clearly just back
alley
hand jobs.
Dirty bathing suits.
And drug deals. And just
I'm still.
Had nothing to do with an actual fucking, you know, high-end strip show like I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, you know, I'm into weird stuff, but I'm still kind of shaken up by what occurred at that place, you know?
Oh, man. Girl was whispering in our ears, and I was just thinking about, like, things coming out of her mouth and getting in my mucous membrane through my ear canal.
She bit our
what
faces.
What happened? And she was very aggressive.
Yeah.
Just wearing that dirty bathing suit instead of like some sort of lingerie or whatnot.
But like I said, sitting like gentlemen wearing NWO shirts up at the bar with the strippers that just wanted drinks bought for them.
Mm-hmm.
While the...
Just nice girls very aggressively trying to steal all of my money. That's what I want.
Let me get a drink. Just let me get a drink. I thought we had some kind of sex deal going on.
Never
once
bought a stripper a drink.
No.
I will never in my life buy a stripper a drink.
There.
Give me a fucking break.
But we also weren't tossing dollars like suckers sitting there at the stage.
Hell no. No.
We looked baller.
You sit back and you make them come to you.
There you go. They want you to whatever it is. I can't think of the line.
Let me tell you a little something I've learned about women. They want you to come get them. They love it.
Yeah.
Nails.
Ooh, we got a promo. They didn't name him, but
we know who it is.
It's somebody from the boss man's past. Is coming back. He's coming back for some revenge.
You talked about it in our just entire, like, hey, we like this show because.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot of vignettes and they did a lot of, like, character work and reasons to care, reasons to believe. And while they might have missed really bad with that Crush one.
Oh, I don't know, man. I'm pretty hyped for Crush at this point.
Well, you always like to crush things.
I was thinking, like, ooh, fucking Repo Man had to come out there with that tire tread outfit after they got rid of Demolition, and Crush gets to come out in all this sweet neon. Like,
that's true.
Whew, Crush really got the upper hand there.
Yeah.
Who'd Repo Man piss
off?
You know
who they believed in. But here's a good just early home run. I mean, there was nothing going on like this at the time. This was... When you look at it in the context
of... Nails you're calling a home run?
Well, the build, what they did.
Okay,
he could have been a home run.
Yeah, I remember being intrigued during these vignettes. Yeah.
He was a home run until he put his hands on McMahon.
Then the bell rang.
He was good there, too, between the ropes.
No, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, it's your opinion. Either way, they got this vignette, and he's just like... I'm sorry,
very moody,
boss,
just inside of an old spooky jail. Sound of, like, jail doors slamming shut.
Yeah, it felt like home to me.
Yeah, it was just very, very comfortable for you.
Yeah, maybe that's why I liked it so much.
Nails, good. The vignettes.
I just liked it. I liked that one a lot.
They're
spooky.
They're coming around to the idea of how to use TV and how that they're actually making a TV show, so it's good there. My number two, I'm going to talk a little bit about LOD's match and the difference between this Legion of Doom and the Road Warriors of the 1980s, the fucking WCW. There's a lot of shit going on here.
As good as it was to hear, what a rush, it wasn't as good to watch them in the ring.
That's true.
Huh.
There's,
oh, man. Michael PSAs and Ric Flair just fell out on that one.
Their styles definitely changed here from the 1980s. What got them over was just bum-rushing dudes and beating the shit out of them and being completely stiff and just, like, slamming through guys and just punching their heads off. And right here, they're wrestling a much more generic big man style where it's a lot of loosey-goosey stuff. They're doing a lot of slams, a lot of power moves, but it's not like shit where you're like, oh, he just fucking killed that guy.
Yeah.
And these guys, their physiques, they're still big, big dudes, but they're just bulky now. They're
now they just look like big dads.
Yeah, they're not like steroid-ripped like they were in the 80s. And it just started making me wonder, like, is their style changed because they've become better wrestlers and they've figured out how to like have long matches and not hurt people? Or is their style changed
because
it's
boring?
Like, we're in the WWF now, we've got a style, we've got a way to do things, and they're like more professional? And then I look at their bodies, the way they changed, and I'm like, WWF is the land of the fucking steroids, and this is like a good year before they started getting in trouble for steroids.
Witch hunts, yeah.
So why aren't these guys more jacked up on steroids than they've ever been before? Is this just when they were just getting into party drugs and shit too much? Or
it's my understanding.
This whole match, this Road Warriors, call them what you will, LOD match, I don't have much to say about the actual match, but just the presentation, the style, made me start thinking about, like, well, what was going on with the Road Warriors at this point? What was their personal lives like? What are they being told to do? What are they just doing different because they're older now? Like,
how long were
it's like night and day, though.
How long were they in the WWF at this point? When did they come over?
I don't think very long, because they came in for a bit. Demolition, hey, tried to do a bit of a feud, then Demolition was gone.
Yeah.
This is clearly the early stages of Demolition being gone.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe like 6 months to a year.
I know Hawk was always really unhappy in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
He would run his mouth a lot, obviously.
Try to climb up to the top of the Titantron and jump off.
Sure.
Yeah.
But he was always... fucking around.
Somebody get Hawk out of the rafters.
Yeah.
He's being a baby again.
He'd be fucking around with the pills and the drinks, but another big thing for him was money.
Mm.
He always felt that they were horribly underpaid,
okay.
That they were moving a shit ton of merchandise.
It used to be over back in the mid-80s, man. This is the early 90s now, buddy.
From everything I've ever watched or read that has to do with LOD in the WWF, it was always dollars and cents. And
that's kind of like a early Kevin Nash mentor, like Hawk, right?
Pretty
there.
Much, yeah.
Like,
Hawk was always just
Nash,
like
a young Nash aside someday, and was just like, listen, man, it's all about the money.
Yeah,
don't ever work if you don't have to.
He's
cash
like
as big a paychecks as possible.
Yeah, he's like claiming like they'd do these shows and Vince would sell $1 million worth of LOD merchandise they'd get none of it.
Yeah, clearly this is getting into the era here where Vince starts struggling financially. The tail end of that Hulkamania craze is not so hot here in 1992.
But I tell you what is hot.
What's that?
Those Hasbro figures.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep seeing kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, this wrestler's in the ring, and I got the wrestler
that
right
figure
here
at the camera. I got it in my hand, I'm shaking it at the camera.
I'm smacking them together.
They were just like a revelation after years and years of those just fucking 10-pound brick can't move LJN figures.
Yeah.
Those little Hasbros came out. I was at the KB Toys. I was at Toys R Us just every fucking week, just like, what's in? What's new?
Right.
What hasn't been picked off the shelf?
I still can't move their legs, but I can move their arms up and down now, which is a
real
step
in the right direction. Each one has some sort of one move they can do rather than no move.
Yeah. Which is it's a big step forward.
Mm-hmm.
God
Huge.
Bless.
Huge.
My number two, well, I guess my three, because I agreed with you about the overall show presentation.
Okay, yeah, we can count that as another one.
So my three, no, it was on my list. I just had it towards the end. My three
is in the Bret Hart match.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm not giving credit to Bret Hart.
No, we've said it many times before.
I don't get
good guy Bret Hart. We're not a fan of it.
No, not even a little.
Smarmy, slick, oil-covered bad guy Bret Hart. Pretty good.
Sign me
pretty
up.
Pretty good.
What I did like was all this talk about that cocky young up-and-comer that was hot after his IC title, Mr. Shawn Michaels.
Ooh, yeah. We got, once again, during the Bret match, we got a little corner promo where Shawn Michaels popped up talking about how he wants that IC title.
He's got a manager. He's got Sherry, but he doesn't even need Sherry to do the talking.
Sherry.
Because he's like, hey, I'm fucking Shawn Michaels. I can talk all day, man. And it was just great. It was good to see a little early Shawn Michaels. And I really enjoy now anytime we've gone back and watched like anything from like 92 to 93. Anytime like Bret Hart gets mentioned, Michaels gets mentioned.
Yeah, those two.
And it seems as if
Yang, just like your older brother's tattoo.
Yeah. It's it seems like Vince knew all along, like one day these two are gonna be feuding for the fucking heavyweight championship.
Their fucking careers just paralleled, both big tag teams of the 80s, both dumped their fucking partners around the same time. Both were in that IC title mix around the same time. Yeah. Like it's like The Rock and Triple H in the late 90s. Like sort of just like their careers just were going along at the same pace the whole time, even though, you know, The Rock was the guy who was blazing the trail and Triple H was always riding the coattails. It's not what Triple H is going to tell you these days if you ask him, but that's pretty much how it was going.
Also, Triple H, I've seen a couple pictures of him like smiling these days.
Oh no, I don't like to hear that.
He looks a lot like the I can't think of the guy's name, but the Aphex Twin guy.
Oh, from like that the Come the to album Daddy cover.
Yeah.
Okay, videos. I feel what you're saying. Yeah.
His face.
What a creep.
It's scaring me. It's scaring me.
You're talking about his face being scary. Have you seen Shawn Michaels lately?
He's good
now that he's picked bald and has that lazy eye that's lazier than ever.
No, he's good.
He's starting to look like a real scary old man.
Hey, speaking of scary, he's
starting to look like something out of a Toby Hooper movie.
Macaulay Culkin's on the latest Edge and Christian show tonight after Raw, if you want to watch that.
Is he looking pretty good?
Oh, great. Just great.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So, yeah, Bret and Shawn. How much of that do you think was planned, and how much do you think they just lucked into?
I think probably mostly lucked into it. Yeah. But then, you know, you throw these guys together.
But you see stuff
having,
like this. And
they start having great matches together, and you're like, damn, these matches are good. And then you're going through that mid-90s just funk of just like, ugh, everybody we're trying to push sucks. Like, I think it's more just like, ugh, we got to go back to Bret and Shawn again. We
greatest
go back to
wrestler
Bret and Shawn
we had
again.
Of all time, Diesel, just left the company.
Damn it. My number three.
Okay.
Is I just wanted to throw a little appreciation out there for Sean Mooney and his bone-dry delivery.
Sean Mooney.
We're in the era of insanity right now.
He's like a more approachable Charles Grodin.
He is kind of. If Charles Grodin didn't get bothered by things, if he was a cool customer, there's some stuff going on there. But every guy on the roster has got some outlandish gimmick. They're all just crazy. And it really just hit me when he's thrown to the Bushwhackers promo. And the Bushwhackers just scream like crazy people. They're yelling about their mom. It makes no sense.
I talked to my mother!
And then they end the big promo talking about how all the fans in America not only like to look at their marching, but they also like to get licked by them. And then they just creepily were like licking their tongues at the camera to end the promo. Like,
is that what happened? I wasn't paying close enough attention, and I was like, what the fuck did they just say? Hey, I don't care.
And then it's just like cold cut back to the studio, and Sean Mooney's just like, okay, that was the Bushwhackers. Coming up next, we've got some words from. And I'm just like, if there wasn't some just unflappable, straight as an arrow, fucking just like sobering presence in between these insane fucking promos we're getting one after another, like this show would just be too off the wall and it wouldn't work. We need just like a boring, bland guy in a suit there. And I think, like, it really worked during this era, and he worked great with it. I think where it goes wrong is later on, like, in the 90s and the 2000s, where, like, dudes were less outlandish, less cartoony, less just circus characters. Everything was more grounded in reality, yeah. But Vince still just stuck to that, I need a guy who looks like a boring Ken doll who comes out here and is just like completely fucking devoid of personality, Michael Cole type thing.
I was going to say, I know you're not shitting on my guy Todd Pettengill.
No, Pettengill, he's too early for what I'm saying. I'm saying Attitude Era and past.
Oh,
like,
okay. Yeah, it's fine.
You could have like JR and the King and dudes who are a bit more colorful in the commentary positions because the wrestlers weren't so crazy.
Like that was always...
And you didn't need to constantly have to be, who's the next fucking clean-shaven Ken doll fucking boring guy going to be?
Before there was even Cole, though, there was a... That was a always the knock on Coachman.
Oh, yeah. Coachman's another one. Yeah, I kind of discount him a bit because he's a brown man and not just like the typical
sure.
Vince McMahon idea.
But he still was that role yeah, of that's just true, like, though. La, la, la. And everybody's yeah. like, this guy's fucking terrible.
Like a polished. I think that I don't know any of the names of the guys anymore, but anytime I do drop into a show, I feel like they still always have like the one guy in their three-man team who's just like, I'm the guy who's here to just be a fucking part down the side, short haircutted, just fucking clean shaven, just void nobody. And it's just like, we don't need this anymore, Vince.
It's a black dude.
Sean
on
Mooney.
SmackDown now.
Sean Mooney created this because he was so damn good at it. And we're still just living in the era of Mooney, man.
It took like JR and the King like 12, at least 12 years till the people started to turn on them. And be like, oh, you guys are annoying.
King got real annoying.
But I was going to say, it was mostly because of King.
It was after he got fired, because like they were like, we're firing your dumb 19-year-old girlfriend. And he was like, well, if she goes, I go. Like, I feel like he was really great up to that point.
That's fine,
and then
man.
When he came back, he was just like terrible and sucked. And just like...
Just groveling for
his job.
Leaned
onto his like old shit and did nothing else. And just like... It was just like from that point, like never said anything funny ever again. Like, yeah. I feel like up to that point, he was legitimately enjoyable, and then it was like done.
Oh, God. He was.
JR was just more of like the slow fade. Like, I'm getting old and losing my mind and just
which was great
down
in its own way.
Slipping in the darkness.
At that Rumble, they had the King as one of the commentators.
Okay, yeah.
I forget. He made a reference to something that was just like 20 years dated. And I was like, people don't know what the fuck you're talking
and then
about.
Who do you have producing the commentators? Like 76-year-old Vince McMahon. Yeah. So I'm sure he wasn't just like, hey man, like freshen up the material. Yeah. This is a fucking show made by old men for old men. And just who could watch it? Who could watch it?
Oh, it was like, I forget who he was talking about. And he was like, this guy makes Mighty Joe Young look like Mighty something or other. And I was like, King, nobody knows who the fuck Mighty Joe Young is.
If Dennis Miller was watching the broadcast, he would have loved it, I bet.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. No arguments here.
Who's making Mighty Joe Young references?
Get these old men off your TV.
Does anybody know what that is?
No. Even though there was a remake of it in the 90s, that remake is still way too old for anyone
That's
to know what
I'm
it
saying.
Is.
Like, I know what it was because there was a remake in the 90s. Mm-hmm, and that's what put it on the map for me. Ugh.
No bueno.
And I bet there's a lot of people my age. If I'm like, hey, you remember Mighty Joe Young? They're like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
No.
Like, you try and tell me Captain Powers wasn't real, you know?
That's pretty sure that's still not real.
Next topic.
We haven't been to that one yet.
Next topic.
I think, that was my Mooney topic. So if you got a four, we're moving
on. Oh, yeah, my number four.
Uh-huh.
That fucking WWF fan club video.
Ooh.
Huh?
Everything on this show, but especially that segment, is just dripping in early 90s Saved by the Bell aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like, it's so dated to watch.
Like, they're just like, join the WWF fan club. And they're like,
that's a pretty good impression of the music from what I remember.
And they're just like, here's 80s CD-ROM graphic or 90s CD-ROM graphics.
Like neon pink triangles flying around on the screen.
They're like, look, a Walkman. Like, it's literally one of the stills they showed.
Here's
was
that
just
kid
like,
in a wheelchair from the Burger King Kids Club. We had him
wheels?
Wheel across the screen for no reason.
Wheels?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
I
bet you I can name more of them than you.
I bet Wheels is the only one I can name. So,
all right. So, who's the leader?
You take that bet. You get your $20 who's back here leader? If you can name three of them.
Oh, you ready?
Okay, here we go.
Kid Vid's the leader.
Okay.
Jaws was the tall black dude. Uh-huh. Wheels was the kid in the wheelchair. Uh-huh. IQ was the nerdy redheaded kid in the green coat.
Damn straight it is.
There was a female. She was really into sports. I want to say Boomer. And there was a dog. He had his own name, mm-hmm, and that mm-hmm. might be the entire gang.
That's got to be the entire gang.
Yeah.
That was like 12 people you named. That was disgusting.
I really like Burger King.
Yeah, I mean, anything else about this WWF fan club?
Yeah, it's great.
It was just like, yeah, a ridiculous relic of 1992.
And
like,
one of the graphics they showed was literally the WWF logo and, hey, a Walkman!
My number four is just how disappointed I was with the Ultimate Warriors interview with Gene Okerlund.
Well, you said Hulk Hogan.
The problem was they brought out like 10 kids in Ultimate Warrior face paint and had them standing up here, and the whole deal was he was going to come out here and glad hand these kids and show what a hero he is to these kids. But they're up on a podium here, and the whole time he's got to worry about knocking these fucking kids into next week, like kicking them off this podium,
yeah,
and them going flying and breaking their necks. So you can't get that Ultimate Warrior intensity. He can't run out there at full speed.
He can't
pace back and forth like...
Pump his arms up and down.
If he screams the way you need him to, half these children are going to run away in fear, and that's going to undercut the entire friend-to-children thing they're trying to do. So it's like the Ultimate Warrior being the like gentle giant glad-handing children is not what got this guy on the map. This isn't what we love him for. This is a bad strategy, man. You want to talk about the Warrior during this era? Like, ooh, as a main eventer, he washed out, he didn't really work. Maybe it's because you're having him doing shit like this that's very un-Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Like that crowd was fucking hot for him.
The Ultimate Warrior is a warrior 24/7. He's got no time for children, man.
No.
You think, like, the Spartans would stay back home and, like, raising the children with the women?
No.
No, man. The Ultimate Warrior should have never seen a kid in his life. He should, like, not even know what a child is if he looks at one.
He should have kicked one of those kids into a pit.
Should have been
yelled,
why
is
this guy so tiny? Like, he's going to be completely ineffective out there in the battlefield.
He'll never be a warrior.
And he should just pick him up and, like, throw him. Discus toss him.
The crowd was hot for the Warrior, though.
They were, yeah. He's just made his big comeback. We're here at the right off the heels
of
WrestleMania
eight. Oof.
Where he was gone for a while, and then he came back.
How do you feel anytime they show footage of that?
Okay, pretty bad, because I was supposed to be at that show, and I didn't get to go because I got real bad diarrhea the morning
It was diarrhea, right?
So, yeah. Oof. Well, I think it was puking, too. Okay. I think it was, like, out both ends, like, all day. I just kept feebly crawling across the kitchen floor, like, trying to tell my mom, like, no, it's cool. Let's just drive down to Indy. I can get it together. Trust me. All you gotta do is trust me.
That's a sad story.
She didn't. Yeah, WrestleMania 8, the Warrior made his big return to save Hogan from the clutches of Sid Justice and Papa Shango. So everybody's happy to see him back at this point.
Hell yeah. I was.
You know, I think he got fired again like a couple months into this.
I think it was just a little while. It
didn't last very long.
Yeah. The only good thing that came of him with those children is when he reached down to grab two young girls.
Uh-huh.
And he was like trying to figure. He was like, "I'm gonna put him up on my shoulders."
Yeah,
and he's like, "There's not enough room for this."
Mm-hmm.
And then he just kind of awkwardly held them, like when you try to bring all the groceries in at once,
just sacks
so you
of
don't
potatoes,
have to
like, hanging off him.
You don't have to like go back out for that second trip. You're like, no. I can just put all the groceries in my arms and I'll get inside.
It was a much more slick move, though, than a lot of those 1980s Hulk Hogan friend of children things we've sat through, where he just stands there in spandex, dick bulge level from their like little noses the whole time.
Yeah,
that's not a way to frame those sort of big wrestler and kid shots.
No.
Not at all.
No. I got a number five.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Also, just a little addendum before we go into your five. Noticeably smaller here, the Ultimate Warrior. I got to wonder, is this the show that led to people talking on the schoolyards about how the Ultimate Warrior was
dead
and there was a new Ultimate Warrior? I think this might have been it here in 1992.
He's got the different hairstyle here, too.
When Mike Westforth came up to me when we were standing in line to go into the elementary school and was like, did you hear the Ultimate Warrior's dead, man?
Yeah.
They got a fake warrior out there.
Fake warrior. You're invited, I guess.
Okay. To what?
Well, I'm quitting this show.
To hear your number five?
Yeah, I'm quitting this show to start my new show.
Uh-huh.
where I review Vince and Cameo and the WBF Body Stars.
Another big video package we got is Vince McMahon promoting his new bodybuilding federation and the Saturday show you can watch.
Sunday mornings, I think.
Oh, Sunday mornings?
Sunday mornings on Saturday USA. Because okay, it was like borderline educational.
I'll buy it. Yeah.
I think they were trying to pass it off as educational.
Oh, yeah, we're going to teach you about health and fitness, blah, blah, blah.
And lifting weights.
Just like health, fitness, hanging and banging.
Yes, you caught the best part. Hanging and banging.
Tune in, little children. We're going to talk to you about hanging and banging.
He's like sliding and riding.
But yeah, his co-host of the show, Cameo, she had some rock hard fake titties, huh?
So word up.
It's 1992.
See what
here.
I did there?
This is some
Cameo's word up.
Yeah, that's a
so
good song.
So word up.
This is pretty early to get a woman with giant, gross fake tits on like your Sunday morning TV show.
No, Vince was always very forward thinking.
Very forward thinking.
It was so cool. Vince in his workout gear.
Did you ever watch any of that WBF stuff?
No, I didn't have cable back then.
I definitely tried it out. Even being the biggest, most blind WWF fan in the world at the time, I was just like, oh, I got to try it out. They got a new show. Look at all these. Let's and I was just like, ooh, this is boring. I'm not going to watch this anymore.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want to watch a show about bodybuilders? This is. You know, I'm 11 years old, and I know right away that this is a really bad idea. Yeah. This isn't something anybody wants.
My dad's weird, and I don't even think he's going to want to see this.
No, definitely not.
My dad might have watched it. He was into working out. Mm. But he was also pretty against steroids, too. So he probably would have been like...
That's a dumb thing to be against.
Guy's on a gas.
Steroids are awesome.
This guy's on a gas.
Yeah, look how big he is. It's cool.
Yeah, look how cool he looks.
I got a last one.
Yeah.
And I was just going into some more of those Sean Mooney promos, and there was just like an example of how you do a great promo and an example of how you do a bad promo, like back to back, only lay down, flip that, and reverse it. The bad promo was first.
It wasn't the Bushwhackers.
We got tossed off to the Rocket Owen Hart, a hot new young kid.
Yeah, I thought he was
pretty good.
Gonna
start doing some stuff. And he just cuts the most generic babyface promo ever, where you could practically just picture Vince like off camera just being like, do it with more enthusiasm, yell it, smile, I want you to smile, be happy.
Oh, that smile at the end of his promo,
and it's just awkward, it's like, and the delivery is just completely, and you're just like, how did Owen Hart ever get anywhere just cutting terrible generic good guy promos like this? And after that, they immediately go into Papa Shango cutting the heel promo.
The time has come. By thy power, master of the crossroads, this is a time of blood, Ebo. It is I, Papa Shango.
And this dude is just, he's not saying generic platitudes like, I'm the new guy and I'm going to come out and win some matches. He's talking straight up fucking insane bullshit.
Yeah.
And you look in this guy's eyes, he believes every word he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
Probably because he was high as fuck while he was doing
probably.
This. Just out of his mind. And I'm just like, Shango, your delivery is crazy. You're fucking going over the top.
People
overacting.
No. Voodoo.
Total weirdness.
Papa Shango is voodoo.
This is what I want out of this era of pro wrestling, is just a dude getting totally weird with it, totally freaky with it, and just throwing himself
How
straight
is he
up
not
into
bigger?
It. Just the Shango character, like,
yeah,
way better than anything they did with him other than that. Yeah, I feel like. And they did have him in that main event of WrestleMania 8, like attacking Hogan, so I gotta say.
Oh, he missed the. He was supposed to come out earlier, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, something just like behind the scenes, him just like not being reliable or something must have happened, because this Papa Shango character was gold for 1992.
Yeah.
We got that feud coming up,
I'm sure,
with him and the Warrior.
He was serviceable in the ring.
Yeah, definitely fine. I guess, I mean, the Godfather worked out for him later, but that was just like. That was never my favorite. That was pandering bullshit.
I thought Kama was pretty cool.
You and nobody else.
He stole Taker's urn, melted it down, turned it into a chain.
That was literally every feud Taker had during that era. What's this new guy he's feuding with going to do? I don't know. Have him steal his urn.
Yeah.
Again, it works.
That was the smartest thing under CM Punk ever did.
That's true. They did bring back the urn stealing angle there for a minute. I forgot about that.
That's funny.
CM Punk, he had a real eye for like old shit that could be fun to bring back.
Yeah.
And then they were always just like, yeah, we're not going to do that though.
When he wasn't too busy being a fucking turd.
Just go out there and cut this scripted promo. Coach getting too big for your britches.
You fucking turd.
We're take a little break here. CM Punk, just, if you're listening to this, think about how much of a turd you are for the next couple of minutes. We'll be back with a three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hello, I'm Vince McMahon. Join Cameo and me for a behind-the-scenes look at the superstars and the superbodies on WBF Body Stars. If you're into bodies and what makes them look so good, then you don't want to miss WBF Body Stars. Every Saturday morning on USA, it's about health and fitness, hanging and banging, riding and sliding, food and fun, fashion and passion. WBF Body Stars, you've got to want it.
I created something that'll make you love me. I've got a great new stereo. Can I do that? So hike up your pants for the Earth Alone's rant.
We're Earth Alive with Earth Alone.
Strawberry, banana, fruit flavor, so fine. Just one little bite and I know she'll be mine.
She'll be Earth Alive with Earth Alone.
Oh, Laura, when I find you, you'll taste true love. The Earth Alive part of this complete breakfast.
So,
you care about anything?
Just, you know, hanging and banging.
Hanging and banging. Doing, so. What about all this beef?
look at that beef.
Look at that.
Vince McMahon, we like beef.
Look at all this beef.
We like bodybuilding. We like just like dudes who just look good in a tiny, tiny thong. So WBF is our inspiration for what we're talking about this week. Just me being so sick, I actually watched some of the Royal Rumble shit last weekend is another bit of inspiration.
Yeah.
When I saw a lot of guys who just
looked
like shit out there on the TV.
Goddamn, pal, give me your thoughts.
So my idea for this week's three count was, which three guys in modern wrestling do you think would benefit most from being on the gas, being on
get
the
get back on it.
Getting a needle in their butt and getting roided
get
up.
Get back on it.
This used to be the best thing about pro wrestling. Everybody was on fucking cocaine and steroids, and it was crazy. It was like watching people losing their minds in front of you. Now it's nothing like that. There's some people whose careers are stalled. Their wheels are spinning. And if they just had some steroids flowing through their veins, things could turn around for them, in my opinion.
Floating through the veins.
Uh-huh, all the little warriors. What do you think that was? It was a metaphor for steroids.
Yeah. Poof. Where do I want to start?
I tossed this question to you. I knew you just have 1,000 possibilities spinning through your head. I know how much you like steroids, like as much as me.
I'm going to start with a guy... just is, and I think there's people in the company high on him, but everybody else isn't, and he gets knocked for this, and he gets knocked for that. Your poor hair guy. Looks bad. You're kind of flabby. So he cuts his hair, and yeah, he's still flabby, but he's like taller than everybody else.
That's good, I think.
All he's got to do...
Great Khali was a good wrestler. He was tall.
He moves well for a bigger dude, this guy, and this is bigger by today's WWE standards. But if he could change it all, and he could make himself into something, if he'd just be willing to take that next step.
Just fucking get some rock hard muscles, man.
Yeah, like Jinder Mahal, he thought, and it got him the strap. He wasn't wrong.
Jobber, and then he got a push because he came back fucking roided to the gills.
And I'm thinking if this guy gets yoked to the bejesus belt and back, he's gonna get a run.
Fake a knee injury, take a couple months off, and just fucking roid your ass fucking up for 2 months.
And this guy can just come back squashing people. Talk about Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin does have bad hair. You're right about that. That's for sure.
So he cut the long hair. He's I'm a bald guy.
Yeah.
But he's still wearing like those vests and like business shirts underneath.
Oh, I feel you. He's wrestling in those?
Yeah, he's been wrestling in those because he can't lose that flab.
He does have that little like flabby belly where his tummy looks like a little frowny face. Like his belly button looks he used to be a football player, right?
Sure.
So yeah, you got to have a lot more mass to be a football player. Took off a lot of mass. Now he's got loose skin. You got to get those fucking muscles back,
yeah,
man. And
put a little mass on with a couple
not
of cycles,
just like
bro.
Not the bloated, like, thick frame football player muscles. I'm talking about just like the, I'm on a bunch of steroids, so my body's burning fat like crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm filling out all this flab with abs now.
Mm-hmm.
Steroids the only thing that's going to get you there if you got that much loose skin hanging around.
I think it's going to take him to the promised land, Nate.
I think he would definitely benefit from being a big roided out monster. Look how much they tried to push Test, who was maybe a similar height.
Sure.
And Test fucking sucked in the ring and on the mic. He never got anything over, but they kept just
cool
trying with Test, trying
just
with Test.
Like, babe.
It was because
hey,
Test was roided to the fucking gills.
Yeah. That's... And maybe it might have something to do with why he died at such a young age, mm-hmm. but that's... For the doctors and the lawyers mm-hmm. and the scientists mm-hmm. to figure out.
In my opinion, no.
And I don't trust any of them anyways.
In my opinion, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. He's still alive.
My number three is kind of in a similar vein. A big WWF dude. Tall guy, nice size. One of the problems with being a tall guy, though, is you can't put on huge mass generally. Like,
no.
You got those long muscles.
Sure.
Even if you're putting on a lot of weight and you're gaining a lot of strength,
yeah.
like, it's harder for a super tall guy to just, like, see that muscle on his frame. Even so, this tall guy has put on a ton of fucking muscle and just looks yoked to fuck, one of the best bodies on the roster right now. I'm talking about that Scottish dude, Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah, Drew McIntyre.
Kind of just didn't look like much. Went away for a while, got fucking huge, came back, and now he just looks like a beast. And they're kind of pushing him like a beast. But
he was in three-man band with Jinder Mahal. You think he's on maybe some of the same
guys?
That's
what I'm saying. I'm saying this guy's on something because he came back big. I don't know what he's on, but... What if he didn't have to do whatever he's doing to, like, pass the drug tests every once in a while? What if he didn't have to find the loophole, like, the thing that doesn't show up? What if he could just be fucking pounding steroids through his system right now? As good as he looks right now, imagine how fucking huge he could look. This guy could be, like, fucking Brock Lesnar, early era, unstoppable beast-looking guy.
Yeah.
Like, if that guy could do steroids right now and he came back with what he does in the gym now, plus a bunch of just... fucking unadulterated steroids, he would be a fucking freak, and they'd have him
no
just
choice.
Running through everybody.
Yeah.
Like, everybody. He'd fucking would have murdered them all by now. This guy would be the biggest goddamn wrestler in the world. So
but he'd have some fun matches with a Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, just like a little twist on this I wanted to do early. Just like a guy who already looks great and just looks like he's on something and probably is. But what if he could be on more steroids?
Yeah.
It could be even better. You could always
crossed my mind as well.
Do more steroids.
Him specifically. Crossed my mind. One of the things we've seen covering all these 80s wrestlings mm-hmm. is steroids wasn't just for the lonely folks, you know?
No?
No. Sometimes solitaire was the only game in town.
Mm-hmm.
And steroids.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you and a buddy could do steroids.
Just do it together.
And you could be a tag team.
Let's go in halvesies on a bunch of steroids.
And I was like,
let's
ooh.
Share needles.
I was like, you know what? There were some good roided tag teams.
You could save a lot of money sharing needles with your friends.
The Steiners, when they first hit the scene.
Oh, God. Those guys were rock hard, man.
Yeah.
Just fucking rock hard.
We already talked about LOD, Road Warriors.
Yep. At various points, they were very roided out.
So I was like, man, maybe there's a tag team that, or two guys that would just benefit.
What if they were fucking just juice heads?
And so I'm going through tag teams and I'm like, oh yeah, they'd be good. Oh yeah, they'd be good. Oh, they'd be good too. But then I came to like two names in specific that just, they've tried a million times over to get them over.
Ooh, okay.
And they can't.
That doesn't sound great.
They did like, for a second, but just like in a joking, accidental way. And funny enough, their fathers were around in the roid age.
Oh, okay.
But their dads didn't really partake in the roids. But maybe their kids should. I'm talking Bo
All
Dallas
kids should.
And Curtis Axel.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going with Bo Dallas and his brother, Bray Wyatt.
No, Bray Wyatt's a big old fat
fatty. But he's a tag team.
He does fine on his own.
He's a tag team with Curtis Axel.
He does fine on his own, yeah.
They're doing some sort of like second generation loser angle.
Yeah.
Losers who don't do steroids but have dads who are famous.
Yeah, they just call themselves the B team.
Yeah, they could be doing a lot better for themselves if they, especially Bo Dallas, like they had some plans for him clearly when he was in NXT, and then he just went to the main roster and got out of shape, and it was just like, dude, you can't go up to where Vince works and just show up out of shape. You're gonna be the next fucking Braden Walker. What are you thinking?
Right.
So yeah, and some guys just need steroids to look good. Like maybe you do hit the gym, but maybe you just like you're not dedicated enough to like hit a fucking consistent schedule, or maybe just like you like eating garbage too much,
diet.
So like your diet's fucking with it. In that case, you're gonna need some steroids to like fucking kick your shit up a notch and take you to the next level. That's just how it works, man.
You could get these two could be a second coming of the varsity team, man.
Yeah, I can see that.
You put a little juice in them. A
couple of fucking just meatheads jumping around acting like idiots.
Yeah.
You get some sort of short Satanist to pair up with them, and it just writes itself.
Yeah. I mean, they're good technical sound wrestlers. If they're just meated up a little bit, throwing people around because they could.
I think they'd have a much better career.
Yeah.
This sort of segues into my next one, which is guys who just can't cut it in the gym and need the extra little boost to get them somewhere. My number two is a tie. I'm going a tie. Two guys who just, I look at them and I'm like, ugh, ugh. And that's the aforementioned Hideo Itami and another guy who just career never went where it should have because of how he fucking looks, and that's Chris Hero.
Oh, I thought about putting Hero on there.
So Hideo Itami, just like slick fucking pretty boy all the women love coming out of Japan, comes into the WWF, gets a bunch of fucking injuries, just starts looking flabby, looking out of shape, clearly can't train as hard because like he's torn all his fucking ligaments and shit.
Yeah.
Just never looks the same, never feels the same. This guy needs to get in there for his rehab, rebuild some muscle with the thing that's best at rebuilding muscle, fucking steroids.
Yeah, duh.
Chris Hero, clearly a guy who doesn't like working out.
No.
Started off as a fatty. Was a fatty for a while, natural athlete, could do like tons of fucking shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but clearly it's just the sitting in the gym and doing the boring reps thing that he's not into.
If you need to wrestle in Juggalo pajama pants, we all know you're fucking fatty, bro.
Uh-huh.
Like, why did Eric Cannon wrestle in those? Because he was fat.
So this dude got in shape at one point.
He did.
A brief fucking period and got signed by the WWE. He got fucking down to looking like an athlete. Went to WWE.
And then
didn't
just
work out.
Yeah.
Got fired. Then got fatter than ever. He's now just like a fucking fat dude.
He still works there.
And you know I'm saying though, he's back, but he's never, he's back as a, this is what they think enough of him to bring him back as like a player coach in NXT, the Charlie Banks of NXT,
sure.
Like work with the guys, show them how shit's done, like help them, but he's never going to get a push in NXT.
You're a cakey.
He's never
going
to be one of the main guys in NXT.
No.
He's never getting on fucking broadcast television as a main roster guy. And it's because he looks like shit. And the dude says he's got like fucking health problems or whatever, and like he can't take off weight because of some health problems.
Yeah, because he's fucking
fat.
It
sounds like bullshit to me, man.
Oh, wait. Was she a great big fat person?
I think having health problems where you can't take off weight is much more rare than people who say they have a health problem and that's why they can't take off weight.
He's fat!
99% of the time, it's your fucking diet or it's what you're doing in the gym. So you're going to need a boost. This guy could get in shape enough to like have never had his career stall out to the point where he doesn't get to the main roster if he could have just done steroids the whole time.
Yeah.
Dog it a bit, but do roids. It's going to pick you up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to give you that boost. It's going to give you some more energy so where it's not such a bad deal being in the gym. Chris Hero, just the guy that could have been but never was because he was never willing to put in the effort of hitting up his local high school football team, finding one of the kids on it and being like, hey, kid, where are you guys getting your steroids?
Hey, kid.
That's all you got to do. Go sniffing around the high school football teams.
Stick
get yourself a hookup. And then make your pro wrestling career happen, man.
Hey, kid.
Hideo Itami, injuries knocked you out of it. And then you came back with tits. You can't be on WWE TV having tits unless you're one of the women's wrestlers. It just doesn't work that way.
We love it that your trunk pattern's still the same. That's great, but like, you're not the same.
What's the pattern of fucking needle pokes in your butt? That's what I want to see. Yeah. There should be a lot of them.
I got a final one.
Oh, number one. Number one man who needs...
And I had to make this one count.
Desperately to do steroids.
I had to make this one count.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't a guy that's like looking to...
Only get one shot.
He's not looking to hit the Holy Land. Like, you know what I'm saying?
This guy's not going to be the champ?
No, he's gonna.
Oh, okay.
But it's not new territory for him.
Oh.
Is what I'm saying.
Oh.
This guy's been the man before. But the problem is...
Uh-huh.
This guy's just been there too much.
Slipping down that backside.
This is a guy that even did roids for a minute.
Oof.
Not like he probably should have, but he did. He did dabble.
Good for him.
And he's been around.
It shows
and,
commitment.
He's been around, and no one really wants him to be around anymore. But if he would just...
Go away.
Disappear for a minute.
Yeah.
Come back.
Just fucking looking huge.
Just be like... Oh, I just like, I'm like The Rock now. I like to get big like
The
Rock.
The Rock looks fucking cool as hell.
Yeah, like I'm
Everyone
40.
Loves him.
I'm 40 now, and I just, when you turn 40, you just hit that
HGH,
that extra.
Man.
No. It's all natural. HGH this is all natural. Going. I'm just big now. I'm 40 big.
Rock went to Hollywood, took off all his steroid masks, tried
everybody,
to be a real actor.
Everybody
Nobody
asked
Nobody cared. Started doing steroids again, put back on all his ridiculous masks. Became the most famous man in Hollywood. Fucking read between the lines, people.
This guy needs to get that big, and people will start caring again, and he can start killing everybody he wants. I'm talking Randy fucking Orton.
Ooh, Randy Orton.
He's already
he used
like...
used to be way bigger than he is now.
He's already like one of the biggest dudes on their roster.
Uh-huh.
Like if you turn on SmackDown...
He's tall.
He's the tallest guy on SmackDown.
One of the few guys, just like who's famously been shamed on TV by Triple H for cycling off of steroids.
Yes.
So yeah, that was that moment where he was injured for a while. Clearly, was not doing drugs, not working out while he was gone.
Right.
They brought him back. And it was like 30 pounds down. H was just like, "What the fuck is this? Write a segment for me where I can make fun of how much weight he's lost. Like, this is the WWF. We do steroids here.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you thinking?
Right.
Triple H isn't going to make it on our list because he clearly still does steroids.
Yeah, he gets
fucking
it.
Fucking wellness policy.
You
Be
seen
damned.
The, you seen the clit in Stephanie McMahon's business pants?
Oh, man. It's constantly poking out.
Oh, yeah. She's on it too, bro.
She's got
like,
that
he gets
crotch
it.
Adam's apple.
He gets it. But Orton, you like to do this like, I'm crazy, I'm unhinged, I'm going to beat people up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you're just like doing like the Austin, but it's not as cool because you're not that cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just would get fucking juiced to the gills.
Yeah, at this point, just like he needs to be on a full-on Sylvester Stallone diet of just like human growth hormone. I want him to see him start. Brock's got that weird HGH gut going these days,
yeah.
I say. Like his body's morphing into like a fucking monstrosity.
Just sure.
Orton needs to have that going.
Orton's, I'm just tired of his forearms not being as big as his thighs.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
He just
In
needs
this
to.
In this industry, that's a problem.
He just needs to get gassed and just, like, you want to be that crazy guy that's going to murder people? People will believe it when you look like a crazy guy that's going to murder
that's
people.
Very true.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
This could be the.
It's always been my dream.
His swan song, you know? His big, triumphant. Return.
Honorable mention.
Back to the top.
Not really to be on this list, but just like, let's throw him in the Hall of Fame. Scott Steiner. Like that guy, still doing indie shit.
Yeah.
Yoked to the fucking gills.
Yeah.
You think he'd be able to even get through a match if he didn't have fucking roids in his system? Hell no. His body would be broke the fuck down.
If he didn't do the roids, his heart would have enough time to have a heart attack.
You gotta trick your heart by keeping it working at all times.
No, keep going, keep
Always
going,
keep
going, keep
growing.
Going. I feel like I should stop. No, keep going,
Always
keep going,
keep
going, keep
that
going.
Heart growing.
Yeah.
My
he
number
gets it.
One.
Even though it's the size of a baboon heart.
My number one is a guy who just can never get it together in the right way to become a main eventer. He's missing something. The guy, he talks good. He wrestles good.
He talked good.
He's good at developing characters. He's just, anything you do, he's going to do it good.
He's a real character.
But he can't get to that next level. And what he needs is he needs a 1990s, 1980s-esque steroid body. Yeah. So you look at him and you go like, oh, that guy's a premier athlete. He's a superstar. Let's push him to the top.
That Ico Pro ain't cutting it.
Talking about a guy who's got everything it takes in the world to be at the top of the wrestling industry. And he's proven that. But he hasn't proven it as a performer. I'm talking Cody Rhodes.
This guy's figured wrestling
out so much that he's now in charge of his own company that's showing up.
Yeah.
But still, he is in WWF. They would never put him up in that upper card thing. He goes to the indies. He's a big star. He's good at all this shit. But he's not good enough to have those, like, fucking five-star indie type fucking matches. That's not what he does.
Because at the end of the day, he's still fucking Cody Rhodes.
What he needs to be is a WWF wrestler. That's his style. That's what he's good at. That's where he would fucking flourish. If he could be on steroids and just have like a real impressive body, he would have been a main eventer 10 years ago at this point. We would be like, we're sick of Cody Rhodes being the main guy for so long.
True.
It's the one thing he needs to take him to that next level. He's always knocked everything he's done out of the park. He just has never looked the part. And on the indies, man, he's clearly a wheeler and dealer. He's got a lot of stuff together, but you've never seen somebody be like, oh, I want Cody Rhodes to be the main event of my fucking indie show. No, he's just not a main eventer anywhere.
The only time he willed himself into any kind of main event status was when he won that NWA strap. And it was only important because his old man already had it.
That doesn't count.
And it still wasn't even the main event.
No.
It was like the third to last match.
There is no NWA anymore. So having the title of the NWA means fucking jack shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cody, but you need to get on roids, man.
And he was one of those guys that, like, when he wrestled in the WWE, he was like Christian tall.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
now that you remove everybody else, and if you put him in the current product,
went back there now, he'd look a lot taller than he looked fucking 5 years ago in that
company.
He'd have
like 2-3 inches on Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. And if he just also had like a good fucking 25 pounds of muscle on Seth Rollins.
I was thinking like 30 at least.
Yeah, suddenly you got something.
The American Nightmare. And it would have made sense because
The American Nightmare is constantly being drug tested and not being able to do all the steroids you want to do.
Yeah. And just shredded and not fat and no splotches.
Maybe that's what he needs to take him to the next level. He needs a splotch like his daddy.
You know, Goldust posted a picture of his dad.
Uh-huh.
Like last week or so.
Sure.
And a lot of people were like, oh, what's that bruise on his stomach?
People don't know about the dusty splotch anymore? Where we've gotten? These kids don't even know about the dusty splotch?
Pretty much just like weird whores that Goldust is friends with.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Just being like,
I need to look into more about how Goldust is living his life.
Like, no, I just didn't know that about your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And people being like, it's birthmark. It's a fucking birthmark.
My dad's job was to have his shirt off for like 30 years.
Yeah.
You don't know about his fucking splotch. Yeah. That's how you figure out what your real friends are.
And also,
they ain't never seen his dad in their life.
How dare people be like, it's a birthmark?
No, yeah.
That's not what it is.
It's not what a birthmark looks
it's
like.
It's the splotch, daddy.
That's what a splotch looks like.
Ah, wrestling just makes me angry sometimes.
I'd see if we got some splotch action coming on next week.
What do we got?
As we move our show back down south.
We're going with WCW again?
We move away from this glorious one-hour-long TV show back to a two-hour-long TV show. When we do the April 18th, 1992... episode of WCW Saturday Night.
Yeah, you thinking?
Oh, yeah. Same broadcast date as this Superstars. Keeps our format up. It's a shame that it wasn't an hour-long show, but, you know, we're used to this two-hour-long thing. Maybe an hour-long one every other week will feel like a break.
What do we got?
I think Dusty's a commentator in this era.
We got, like, a stunning Steve Austin at this point.
We got a Dangerous Alliance, man.
Oh!
1992, that's Dangerous Alliance shit. This might not be so bad. I remember
this could be watchable.
Enjoying this year of WCW quite a bit when I was a kid. But also, it's WCW, so I'm sure there's going to be plenty of horrible shit along the way for us to talk about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find out. Oh, and should have mentioned it when we were looking for our...
It's not too late. We haven't stopped recording.
For our whatever, our paying whatever's for the five count.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Do yourself a favor. You got the Shudder.
Mm-hmm.
They got a great movie on there right now. From the late 70s, early 80s, a Joe D'Amato classic.
Best era of wrestling.
Emmanuel and the Lost Cannibal Island, I want to say is the title.
Big fan of that era of Emmanuel movies.
Yeah, this is one of the first ones, so check that out as well when you got a little time on your hands this weekend.
Weekly recommendation.
It's going to be good for you.
Every chick on that show got a splotch.
Stay single, watch the shit out of that, Baby Hole and Blow.